Pastor Dale Swartz, and I do welcome you to another broadcast of The Voice of Tomorrow. The Voice of Tomorrow is presented each week by Kingdom Ministries and in a conjunction with the Litchfield Church of God, and Kingdom Ministries was created for the purpose of teaching and preaching the message of God's coming kingdom. The kingdom is real. The kingdom was a message that was on the heart and lips of Jesus throughout his ministry. It's central in the scriptures, and so it's important that we know about the kingdom of God. I want you to become a student of the Word of God as you read the scriptures, as you listen, as we share thoughts from God's Word. And that's why I encourage you to get a Bible and a piece of paper and a pencil to write down the passages that we consider each and every week. That way, then you can go back and re-examine those passages and study them for yourselves. The Apostle Paul told Timothy that he should be a student and that he should study this Word of God, to study to show himself as approved unto God, as a workman that needed not to be ashamed, to rightly divide, rightly understand the word of truth. The scriptures need to be utilized in our daily lives. God is absolute. God is sovereign. He is the creator of heaven and earth, and he has provided a beautiful plan, a plan of salvation through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. Through him, you and I can have eternal life. And eternal life will become a reality to all of us when Jesus himself returns again. And Abraham believed this. We've been studying from Hebrews and Genesis. In Genesis 22, Abraham has just, as we shared last week, was offering his son Isaac on Mount Moriah as a sacrifice. And at the last moment, after God instructed him to go to Mount Moriah, Abraham had placed Isaac on the wood. He had raised his hand to slay his son when the angel of the Lord called out and said, "Abraham, Abraham, do not lay a hand on the lad. Do nothing to him, for now I know you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me." The Bible is full of shadows and types, illustrations in one place that show something in the future. This is an example of a shadow and a type. For Abraham was going to sacrifice his son, give his son, and he'd do it in obedience because God had instructed him to do so. And God sent an angel, and the angel said, "I know that you fear God. Do nothing to him, since you have now not withheld your son." Who else gave their only son? And in this case, the son did in fact die. It's a picture in the Old Testament of something that God himself would do as it unfolds in the New Testament in the life of his son, Jesus the Messiah. Shadows and types are just wonderful things to consider as you look at the Old Testament, because when events happen in the Old Testament, they may be a shadow of something that could happen in the New Testament. And there's a period of time between the Testaments, between the time of Malachi and the beginning of Matthew, a period of 400 years. And in that 400 years, history records that a great event in the life of the Israeli people occurred. During a time of war, a Roman individual named Antiochus Epiphanes offered a pig on the altar, in the Jewish altar, and Judas Maccabeus came to the rescue in that situation. He cleansed the temple, and that's a similar shadow and a type of something that will happen in the future when someone very evil will come into a temple and whether it be a sacrifice or making himself an offering and saying, I am the one to be worshipped. Antiochus Epiphanes in the period between the Testaments is a sample of the Antichrist that is yet to come. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews now, in the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. And as we look at these men and women of faith, there was Abel mentioned, the Enoch is mentioned, Noah is mentioned, and Abraham is mentioned. And when we look at Abraham in the book of Hebrews, we look at him as an individual in verse 8, that he was called to go to a place that God was going to show him. He obeyed by faith, not knowing where he was going. He went to a land that God had promised would be his. And this land is now the area of Israel. The land, it's called the land in land of Canaan in the Old Testament. It's the land of Israel. And it was a land that Abraham was led to by God. And he dwelt in that land. He lived in tents. He was kind of a nomad. That's the kind of life that Abraham lived. He was a wanderer. He was a person that kept cattle and kept sheep. And in verse 9 of Hebrews 11, it says, speaking of Abraham, that by faith he lived as an alien in that land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for a city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. Now it goes on and mentions in verse 11 about Sarah, Abraham's wife, how she was able to conceive even though it was past her childbearing years. And this has been borne out as we looked in Genesis in the early chapters of Abraham's faith. God promised him a son. In chapter 21, God remembered Sarah and did for Sarah as he had promised at the set time that he had promised. And Sarah conceived a son in her old age, even though it was past childbearing years. And here's what the writer of Hebrews has to say, that by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. She considered God faithful because he promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, as good as dead, that as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sands of the sea which are by the seashore. Abraham was promised that he would have a son, and this son would be a promised son through whom God would send all the promises that he had made to him. He, in Genesis chapter 12, he would be a blessing. He would own land. All the nations of the earth would be blessed. The number of descendants that he would have, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, on down, they would be innumerable. God told Abraham in Genesis that if you can number the sands of the sea, you'll be able to number your descendants. And from this one man, Abraham, was born all these descendants. In chapter 11 of Hebrews, verse 13 says, all these died in faith without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them at a distance. By faith, they knew that the one that had promised it all, God Almighty, was faithful and would do as he said, but he would do it in his own time. Not in Abraham's time, not in Isaac's time, not in Sarah's time, but in God's time, when God saw things were ready, God would move, God would operate, God would provide when he knew the time was right. God is almighty. God is sovereign. And we need to look at him as the provider today, but trust him with the same faith that he had, the same faith that Abraham had. And look into the future to a better day when God is going to again intervene in the world. Abraham looked for a promised land, but the land in which he lived as an alien. He lived as a stranger in that land, living in tents, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all together, they all lived in the area, not having received the promises, but he welcomed them and looked for them and longed for them. They saw them at a distance in faith, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. And Hebrews 11 goes on, he said, "For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. But that country hasn't arrived as yet. It's a better day. It's a new country. It's a new heaven and a new earth. It's spoken of by John the Revelator in Revelation. It is the kingdom of God that Jesus talked about. And when Jesus returns and perfects the earth, there's a better day coming. For John the Revelator said, I saw a new heaven and new earth, for the first heaven and first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." There's a better day. Jerusalem is going to be the capital city of the kingdom of God. It's going to be real. It's going to be literal. Jesus is going to come. He's going to set up a kingdom. It's going to be at the end of time as we know it today. The earth will not go away. It will be renewed. It'll be restored. It'll be changed, not exchanged. It'll be purified. But this time, not with flood like it was in the days of Noah. It'll be purified by fire. There's a better day coming. But to be a part of that better day, you need to know Jesus Christ as Lord, Savior, and Master. And if you haven't accepted him, if he is not your Savior, your Lord, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ, you need to invite him into your heart. You need to accept him by faith. You need to be repentant and change your ways. You need to be baptized. And then you need to continue living a holy life, following God's ways. May God bless as you continue to be a student of his holy word.